Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Jill, who is here to speak with us about an exciting event we have upcoming in New York City. Welcome, Jill.
Very exciting.
I think we only just heard the last little tiny bit. I think it took a minute for you to get unmuted.
Oh, hi. Yes,
hi.
I'm here.
Welcome.
Hear me say I'm very excited, very excited.
Oh, actually, I just heard the word excited. So, but that was the important part, I figured. So that was good.
Yes, yes. Well, I was thinking about it today when I was invited to join the call, and it just filled me with just this great glow of anticipation of, yeah, just this little satellite from the monastery coming to land here in New York City. And just how powerful that is. It really is. It lights me up for sure.
Coming to this little New York City place. It's funny because as you describe it, it really is like that. It's like the vastness of practice comes to our little hometown, which in the conditioned world, it's exactly the opposite, right? It's like this at the end of this tiny little dirt road is this, you know, monastery in New York City. It's a big place. But, you know, it's really... It really is I remember before I lived at the monastery, being able to participate in things close to home was just such an amazing opportunity.
Yes, yes, yes. It just feels, whenever someone from the monastery comes here, it just feels like, you know, I feel like that, you know, at the monastery, people are able to hold that space. That's sort of the 24-hour practice, is to just hold that space of center. Mm-hmm. And you know, we're out here in the conditioned world doing it the best we can, trying to hold that space. But when someone comes who, that's their dedicated job, to holding that space, it's just, when we see, for me, when I see someone who, you know, truly represents that, I don't know, it just really, you know, it ups my game for sure.
Yeah. And you know, Jill, I just saw something in what you said that I've never quite seen before, but I know from my experience, when people come to the monastery for retreat, it's like we're here, we're practicing every day, we're doing our
mm-hmm.
monastic practice, we're taking care of the monastery, we're doing our thing, you know, I mean, that's what we're really up to right now in the off season and the non-retreat season. And then when people join us from, you know, their lives and come on retreat, it really adds something new
mm-hmm.
and exponential to practice. And I just
mm-hmm.
thought how, I suppose the other way is true as well, that
yes.
there you are in New York City, there's a sitting group, so it's not like you don't get to practice, you get to practice.
Mm-hmm.
Each person who's practicing in New York City is participating, far-flung, and, you know, doing all that they're doing to practice. But then coming together in that different way, just like we do on retreat at the monastery, just kind of ups the whole thing, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it you know, what I just saw in that was that I feel like energetically how practice expresses itself here in New York City is just a little tiny different, or maybe big different, than how it's expressed out there on the West Coast. And so when those two expressions of practice sort of come together,
uh-huh.
I don't know, it just seems like what is practice just becomes very clear in some
yeah.
ways.
Yeah, that's very good, because what I just saw when you said that was, so because we see it against all these different backdrops, it's like, so right after New York City, I'm headed out to Zambia, so then there's
mm-hmm.
practice in this whole other setting,
mm-hmm.
and what really does happen from that, what bubbles up is we can see the essence of practice, because we
yes.
see, you know, it is completely different in this place from this place and this place, but at essence, it's exactly the same.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, it really just illuminates that universality of it, and, you know, the universality of practice.
Yep. So I know you had a big hand in setting the whole thing up and securing the space. Maybe you could tell us kind of where it is. And
yeah. Yes.
And when it is. And
I had to write it down. It's March 1st, and it's between 10 and 4, and it's on a Saturday. And it's on the east side of Manhattan in Midtown. It's actually in this area called Turtle Bay, which is completely dominated by the United Nations. And the event is actually in a building that's used to be part of the United Nations, but it's called the United Nations Church Center. And it's this event space that was graciously donated by an organization, and it's on the 12th floor, and it's this beautiful Norwegian wood event space that overlooks the whole United Nations and the East River, and it's quite a beautiful space. And it's
I'm
on,
sold.
I'm sorry?
I'm sold.
And it's on 44th Street and 1st Avenue, for those who know the grid of Manhattan and the streets and all that stuff.
Just before we go, to be clear, it's really important that people sign up for the event. So actually,
yes.
In the particular address, they probably don't need now because they'll get that all in the confirmation. But
definitely,
you know, people who are doing retreats with us all the time are used to this. But because of the way the workshops are set up, it's crucially important that people contact us ahead of time. And all the information is on the website. So people can go there and sign up officially, and that way we know you're there and that kind of thing.
Yes.
We know you're coming.
Yes. It's very important to sign up, truly, truly. I just looked at the sign up button today on the website, and it was there.
Good.
And it looks like acceptance is the topic.
Acceptance is the topic based on Sherry's fabulous book, When You're Falling Deaf.
Oh, yes.
So that's, for people who haven't read the book, it's one of my very favorites. In fact, I talk about it all the time. People are really tired of hearing me talk about it. But it just, to me, it walks really beautifully through the steps of working with something that feels very, very challenging, that can feel bigger than practice. You know, so there are the things we practice with. Yeah, I can practice with this, I can practice with, but I can't practice with that. That's way too big.
Yeah.
And this book and this workshop is going to be about, well, actually, that's not really true. There's nothing that's too big for practice.
Yeah. It reminds me of that exercise of the circle of acceptance, that we're just challenged to keep drawing bigger and bigger.
Exactly. Yep. And our lives get bigger and bigger as we do that.
Yeah, that's the counterintuitive thing. I think there was the peace quote that said something about that today, that it was something like the more we surrender, but it was just this counterintuitive action that we take that is actually what brings us closer to what we really want in life.
That's exactly right. And, you know, for so many of us, we know that, you know, I get it, I know that, but you know, moment by moment, we're bamboozled in the conditioned, you know, habit. And
yep.
So coming together for a day of, you know, kind of, especially in this upping our game year, coming together to get on the field, you know, together and really practice it, that puts a whole new kind of spunk in our game, if you will.
Yes. Because, yeah, when you said that, what it reminded me of was, you know, sure, it's, you know, I can talk about the circle of acceptance, but, you know, when I'm in line at the post office, you know, it's like,
exactly.
You know, when I'm in my daily life and these, it's, you know, conditioning is throwing out these stories to tell me that things aren't going, quote unquote, my way, or things are turning out different than expected. It's really rubber meets the road stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And I will say that as I started down the research path of, okay, you know, where am I going to stay, and flying out the next day, as I said, Africa and all that, I discovered that actually New York City isn't necessarily more expensive to stay in than anywhere else in the country, which was a nice surprise. And so, you know, okay, so there are the folks who in Sangha who are in New York City, but, you know, there are a lot of places right around New York City, so people might consider coming in for the day and joining.
Oh, yeah. It's I find it very hospitable. It's funny to always hear, I mean, I had a lot of outside ideas of what New York City was like before I moved here, And now that I'm here, I mean, I really do feel like it's just a bunch of little towns stuck together. You know, it's it really has a very homey feel to me, and yeah, I'm very excited, as I started by saying.
Excellent. Well, anything else you wanted to throw in about it, Jill, before we turn it over to Michael and Sherry?
Just want to underline that, yes, if you please come. Please come. It would be great to see everyone come and visit.
Yeah, and it truly is one of those, you know, the more people on the court or the field or whichever game image we want to use, the more fun, the more we all get to see, the more transformation happens. So, you
know, yes,
join us, jump in.
Yes, yes.
All right. Well, thanks for being with us, Jill.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Jen. Right. Have a great show.
Thanks. Take good care.
Okay.
Good night.
Okay. Bye.
Okay, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Jill. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Hi, Michael.
How are you?
Good. Shall we go to that?
Sounds
Doesn't
lovely.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, the topic,
yes.
Right? That's fabulous. The location.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's not that expensive.
Apparently. Who would have guessed?
Yes. Who would have thought? I mean, the plane fare might be a bit much, but once we got there, it does sound, but I do hope, I mean, the point was really taken. Transportation is so fabulous in that part of the world that you can live a little
yeah.
ways out even and make
yeah.
it in and do just fine, or it's stay and enjoy a lovely evening in one of the most fascinating cities on the planet.
Yes, yes, it sounds mm-hmm. very fun. And coming right up, mm-hmm. too.
Coming right up, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
And soon to be followed by blogs from Africa, I suspect.
Oh, I think we can count on that, don't you?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Long around, what, March 3rd or 4th, we should get the information.
Yes, yes. Very exciting. I have some other announcements here, unless there's something you'd like to start us with.
No, I'd like to hear what's going on.
Okay. Registration is open for Guidance Day on Saturday, March 22nd. Speak one-on-one with an experienced practitioner about anything in your practice.
Very helpful.
Yes, and as we just heard, on Saturday, March 1st, a one-day workshop with Jen in New York City, exploring the joy and freedom of acceptance.
Mm.
This workshop is part of a series of events this year, part of Taking Practice on the Road.
She's really taking that to heart, isn't she?
Yes, she is.
Stop in New York and then on to Zambia. That's really taking it on the road.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
and as Jen reminded us, registration in advance is really helpful, and
mm-hmm.
We can plan for you and all that.
Yeah, it's a kindness to the folks putting it together.
Yes, yes, indeed. And throughout the year, experienced practitioners have the opportunity to visit the monastery and train as a monk for a month or more as part of the Visiting Monk Program.
Yes.
Yes. All of this and more at schedule.livingcompassion.org.
Good.
Our call-in number today is 888-4-SANGHA. That's 888-472-6442. The show ID is 15406. Then you'll enter your PIN followed by pound. And as always, one topic, please, in about 5 minutes.
Hey, Michael, I just wondered, maybe registration is closed for the Zen of Rumi?
That's a great question.
Yeah, maybe somebody can text us and let us know, because that's a few days out, and maybe registration is closed. I don't know. But it did occur to me that that's also coming up fairly soon.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
2 weeks from today, I believe,
mm-hmm.
February 25th through 28th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Good. You've got people?
We have people, let me tell you.
Good.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Chris. Hey, Chris. Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Great. Doing great. Watching
What's
the sunset
going on?
Well, I just wanted to check in. I'd done the visiting monk program in April and or so in May, and just a lot has gone on since then. And the tradition wants to say a lot of horrible awfulness, but the truth is a lot of realizations and just growing up and really understanding that practice, well, yet again, that practice is the most important thing to this human life.
Mm-hmm.
And kindness. And, I didn't have much. I just wanted to call in because I've been calling in for weeks and not getting on. And
Well, I am so glad because I have to tell you, I was out doing something the other day and thinking about you and wondering how you were and what you're up to because I hadn't heard from you in a while. And, I know what it was. Somebody with the same last name. This person was park ranger. And so, of course, you know, the train of thought just starts. And I wonder what's going on with Chris. And so it's very nice for me to know that even though you didn't get on the show, you've been with us.
Oh, yeah.
And so then it's even nicer to hear your voice.
Yeah, it's funny. I've been applying for so many jobs, including park ranger, and getting just a lot of rejection, but just keep coming back to it's not up to me, it's up to life, and just like whatever is next, I just want to be here for it. I just want to give my full effort and work towards ending suffering because that's what it all comes down to. And just recently had a childhood friend, he hung himself and feeling like, that could have been me very easily too, you know, and just feeling like it's so clear how it's, I don't know if there's a reason why I'm here, but since I'm here on Earth, this is what it's about, you know. It's about waking up and ending suffering and not believing conditioning's lies and just dealing with whatever karma is next and just keep going.
So conditioned to think, you're trying to get a job and they're just all this rejection and, you know, that's shame. That's just, I wish it weren't that way. And then when we look at it from the way you're talking about it, here I am, I'm on this planet, and I have the opportunity to wake up and end suffering. Then I don't want to be in charge of the things that come my way because I don't think I would be the best judge of the best things for me to go through in that process.
That is so true. Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But only someone would try to idealize or imagine or pick and choose. And that's just an illusion. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, if I don't have a job, and I'm attempting to wake up and suffering, I have a lot more time and energy to put toward that endeavor. I get a job, and suddenly it's very easy to get caught up in and the attention goes to that, and pretty soon it's not, you know, the, well, you know, I do want to wake up and suffering, but, you know, I've got this other stuff I'm doing right now. And a lifetime could go by that way. So,
yeah,
very wise to take advantage of the life circumstances we have and to use each one of them to see what arises in me when that happens and what that happens and how do I suffer over that? Or how can I be in a place to see everything that goes on as my best opportunity to wake up and...
So, yeah, and just like hearing about what's going on in New York City and how we're up in our game, it just feels, I don't know, it's like, go team, you know, let's, it just feels good. It's like,
go us.
And like, just reminds me of how, I think you said how some cultures they're chanting or yelling, you know, do your best, not, and that just feels so right. You know, whatever happens, however it goes.
However it goes, let's cheer one another on. Let's be happy for one another.
And just noticing how strong it was to, or EKC, or, you know, self-hate was to, like, recreate the suffering, Chris, or the whatever identity before that was going on before I went to the monastery. It was just, I mean, it was just bizarre. It was like, I mean, it was just, you know, walk by a mirror and feel good and look healthy, but hearing, just wait. You'll be back. You'll be fat again. You know, what? All just, and that's just one aspect. And you know, you're going to spend all your money, and you're going to just, let's just get her back to a suffering place. And that, and then, of course, getting a beating because blah, 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 didn't practice. But just saying, okay, you know what, enough, you know, like you always say, it doesn't really start till the beating stops. You know, your practice is really... It's life and death in a way, and it's such a gift. I'm just so happy
to know that
opportunity.
Yeah, to know that. I mean, we just we wish your friend had known that.
Exactly.
You know?
The first thing I heard, when I heard, I was like, the devil or whatever conditioning the voices, they got him, you know. Mm-hmm. And just seeing how. Sometimes when you do, especially trying to wake up, when you really are like maybe a little extra sensitive or a little different or whatever, just when you're trying to wake up, that the ego doesn't want to lose you. You know, they don't. It's going to put up. It's going to put up a heck of a fight.
So we can. We can admire it. We can admire its tenacity, and we can use. you know, we can use it as a role model, and to be sure that we're going to be more tenacious than it is.
So, just great talking to you, and I'm always feeling, I always feel like I'm with Sangha, and just so appreciative of the archives and of all the benefits, especially now that I'm on such a tight budget. It just feels, it doesn't matter if I can't do this or that. I'm all the way in. And, just thank you, Trey.
Oh, thank you. It's great to hear from you. Great to hear your voice. Take care of yourself, huh?
For sure. You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Chris. You're listening to Open Air. It's always great to hear from old friend Sherry.
Oh, it is. It's just, gosh. You know, because you're on some of these calls where there'll be like facilitators are all on a call or something like that, and I say these things all the time because every time it's my experience, and that's why I say it every time. But you know, people will come onto the conference call and they announce their name, and it's just it's so thrilling for me, and I project for other people, but I don't know for other people, just to hear the name and go, it's such a I don't know, it's just a, is it a belonging, it's solidarity, it's support, it's a team, Sangha.
That's great. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
I have the exact same experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's talk to some more friends.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Laura from California.
Well, hello. How are you?
I'm doing well. I was noticing that I was feeling nervous calling because I didn't really have have a pre-planned topic that I was going to talk about. But then as I was listening to the last caller, I was like, wow, I could just plug in my content into that exact process and that would be the same. Because the content that's been up recently is dating and that's wrong. And, you know, as you say, the rejection and the whatever and the trying and not getting what I want, quote unquote, and
mm-hmm.
all that.
Right. You just say, me too. You're unmuted. Me too. And that's not a bad thing, is it? You know, one of the things that I love best about the way we do practice is that we get to experience so early on that we are not alone. You know, I'm not the only one. Those voices in my head would like me to be convinced that everybody else is just fine. They're all getting what they want. They're all happy, and I'm the only one who isn't. I'm the only screw up in the whole thing. And then we get it that, wow, not only are we all in this together, but the voices in the head are saying the same exact things to everybody. The same story.
Yeah, and I remember that being one of the most powerful things about being at the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat, of being like, cause I remember afterwards talking to a friend about, you know, some of those ideas, and she was talking about somebody else and saying, well, I don't think they have, you know, that negative voice in their head. They probably don't. And I was like, just into myself, was like, nope, everybody's got it. See?
Yeah. It's that great, I don't know if it's from AA, I don't know who it's from, but don't compare your insides to other people's outsides. And
mm-hmm.
that's it. You know, we all look fine out there walking around, but that doesn't have anything to do with what anybody is dealing with on the inside.
Yeah.
Which is a real mm-hmm. argument for kindness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think there's that quote of, you never know what, like, everyone is fighting their own fight or something like that, so be kinder than you need to be to everyone you meet, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Easier said than done, of course. But
yes. But yeah. that's why we practice, right? That's the that's the practice element of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was just calling in because I had the opportunity and wanted to do it.
Good. That's it, isn't it? Again, you know, the voices would have us believe that we can't. Unless we have something really figured out, you know. In fact, it's kind of upsetting. As much as I get upset about these things, but people will say to me, you know, well, you know, I didn't want to talk to you because I didn't have a problem. It's like, do you think I only want to talk to people when they have a problem? You know, listen, if everything is going well, isn't that a nice time to check in too? Or if there's absolutely nothing going on, let's check in then too. And then we get the entire range, right?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Well, thanks for checking in.
Thank you.
Anytime.
Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller, Sherry.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Patty from Los Angeles.
Well, hello,
hi.
Patty.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. It's good to hear your voice.
Yeah, I've been here. It's hard to get on, but I've been here.
Oh, good, good.
And I'm actually, I have a class usually on Tuesday nights that makes it hard for me to call in, but I'm not going tonight because I'm sick.
Let's see now. I don't know whether to go, oh, you're sick, or oh, you're joining us.
Well, I thought that's actually what I wanted to talk about, because I thought it would be a great opportunity to discuss the topic of being sick. Because there was a blog post that you wrote years ago called the Sherry Huber Cure, and that changed my life. It was Yeah, I've been meaning to talk to you about that ever since, and I just, for whatever reason, never had a chance. But I wanted to thank you for that, and also to sort of just acknowledge and celebrate kind of all of the progress that I've made in that area, because being sick is one of the kind of big karmic areas in my life, that it just always had so much potential for suffering, and it's just changed so much over the last few years. So I recorded that blog post, and I started to listen to that over and over every time I was sick. And it was such a great reminder to really just take care of the body, you know, let everything else go. And I also did stuff like, I was like process mapping it. So every time I got sick, I would bring out the process map, and I'd have the post-its next to the bed, and I would just start writing down like everything the voices said. And I got to see over the course of, you know, over a few years, just how evil and diabolical that process was. It was just really kicking the human while she's down, you know, just on top of feeling terrible physically, it was like a self-hate fest, you know, telling her, you know, you can't rest. Like, you need to keep doing things. You need to make yourself useful. You're going to miss out on things. It was just like endless. it was abusive.
Yes.
So
absolutely.
So anyway, I mean, it just I've just gotten to this point now where being sick, I mean, it's obviously not something that I look forward to, but it's kind of like a vacation, because I give myself the permission to do nothing but rest and take care of the body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And has it changed the kind of the nature? I mean, I hear it's changed the experience of being sick, but has it changed the sort of, I don't know what word to use, but like the quality of being sick? For instance, I'll tell you what I'm asking about.
Okay.
So I used to, in fact, it's been so long that I've forgotten this, but I used to just live with sinus infections and bronchitis. In fact, I was, you know, way old before I ever had a cold. The first cold that I had was a proof of my recovery, because always before, it just went directly into sinus infection or directly into bronchitis or whatever.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So there was no have a cold and just go on about your life the way people do.
Mm-hmm.
And so over time, and especially with the Uber Cure, I now... It usually takes, the maximum is 48 hours. It's usually more like 24 hours, sometimes as few as 12 hours, to go through a cycle of a cold. And so that's the kind of thing that I was wondering about. Has it changed the body's ability to process the pathogen or whatever, however we want to talk about that?
Yeah, it has. I mean, I don't know if I'm getting over illnesses as quickly as 24 hours, but it used to be that I would get sick and it felt like it would last for a month or something. Like I would it would just linger and or I'd feel a little bit better and then I'd sort of get back to my life and then I would relapse.
Yep.
And or it would get really bad and I'd have like tonsillitis or something, you know, just something that would require medical attention. So, but now it's more like, oh yeah, I spend, you know, a few days in bed and then I'm fine again.
Yep.
So yeah, it has definitely changed the body's, it seems like it's changed the body's ability to heal.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, it used to be also that I would just overwork, and, get completely stressed out, you know, just kind of on a regular basis. And then I would just be, you know, holding out for that, you know, vacation. And then I'd go on that vacation, and by that time I would be so exhausted and overworked that I would immediately get sick, you know, the minute I had a day off. And so then what would happen is, like, conditioning would just turn that into a misery, so that the entire vacation would be ruined because I was sick the whole time. And I had this experience a couple of years ago where it all came, that karma, like that all just came to a head. I was like on this dream vacation that I had been, you know, my husband and I had been planning for a long time. We, you know, put a lot of money into it, and it was our anniversary. It was his birthday. It was like the, you know, all of the circumstances were ripe for conditioning to torture me over this. And I got sick. I got the flu, like the first day I was there. And instead of it being the worst experience of my life, which it could have been, you know, back in the old days, it was like I just got past this like huge roadblock in my life, you know, like I took care of myself and really listen to what my body needed. And meanwhile, like, conditioning's like yammering on about, you can't be sick right now, you're going to ruin the whole thing, you know. There were like plane, you know, tickets that were going to need to be canceled. I mean, it was just like, it was screaming, you can't be sick right now. And I didn't listen to any of that. You know, it was like, I just need to rest. That is the most important thing. I need to rest and heal, and everything else will pan out the way it pans out, you know, but this is the most important thing. And so that was a gigantic, gigantic breakthrough, because that was like, you know, being sick on vacation was like that thing that it would always get me so scared about. And it just doesn't have that power anymore.
That's right. Well, there are so many things about that, Patty, that it doesn't have that ability to threaten you any longer. The willingness to just stop, drop everything, and take care of yourself. That's key. You know, I don't know. I've seen television in a long time, and like commercials or that sort of thing. But it used to be that what we were told is, you get sick and then you take these medicines, and then you can just keep going. That was
right.
That, you know, that was the ideal. That no matter how sick you were, you'll mask the symptoms and you can just keep going. And if people could just understand the importance of, the minute there is the slightest symptom, you just fall over and don't get up until the body has had a chance to overcome whatever that is that is trying to get it. But, you know, the conditioning is so strong that you just have to keep going. And your body will just, you know, it just is required to survive until it can't do it any longer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so ego. I mean, really, what are we doing that is that important? Not
right.
Very darn much.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, for me, it was always preying on a belief that, the thing that I would fall for, you know, which is that in order to be a worthwhile person, you know, I have to be useful, I have to be productive. And so, you know, when I was sick, it would just pound me with that over and over.
Yeah.
And just run the human ragged, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just so helpful to have this other same perspective available, you know, and recording it, you know, the recording and listening was really helpful as well. You know, it's like, I've got this arsenal now, you know, whenever I'm sick, I can break out these recordings and just listen to to all those insights and, you know, oh, this is what conditioning is saying to me now, you know, and like, I just listened to one today that was like, oh man, I can't believe, you know, that it was saying those things. You know, I can't believe it was being that mean. And it's just really helpful to be reminded of all that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's great. That's great. And of course, there's so much information now, evidence that stress is behind, you know, at least 90%, if not 100% of what happens to us, the reasons that we get sick and that sort of thing. And so there, what you're describing is, we're stressed, finally the system breaks down, can't sustain it any longer. We wind up in bed sick with something, and then stress, because the voices are hammering us with what we're not getting done while we're sick. And to learn to take a break from that, and of course, in practice, what we're attempting to do is take a constant break from it, right? Because we know it doesn't make us any more effective or efficient or productive when we're up and healthy, and it sure doesn't do anything for us when we're already sick. So we might as well just listen to those recordings and say ciao to all of that stuff.
Yeah.
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 Good.
Well, I could talk about this forever, but I you know, just wanted to I just wanted to report on that and say thank you.
Well, I'm so glad, because it's one of those things that I'm kind of born again about, but I usually, it seems to just kind of fall on deaf ears. And it's like recording and listening. So I was talking to somebody today, and he said, oh, yeah, I've read that. I've read all about, I've heard you talk about that. Yeah, no, I haven't tried it. And it's like, well, what are you waiting for? Really, what if it's really true that it could make the whole difference in your life? Mm. Wouldn't that be worth giving it a try?
Yeah.
Anyway, but conditioning is a tough opponent.
It is. And I got to the point where I just suffered enough, and I had to do something about it.
Right, right. Yes, I guess, and Chris kind of started us off with that, right?
Yeah.
And we, you know, we get to the point, and we just have to say, okay, I'm done with that. I'm going in a different direction now. And
mm-hmm.
And then, even though things still happen, and we don't always get what we want, and it doesn't always go the way we think it should, and we have disappointments and whatever, but we're going in a different direction, and that makes all the difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, you take
all right.
I can trust you. I know you're going to take care of yourself, so I'll just say talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Sherry.
Right.
Thanks,
good
Michael.
Good night, Patty.
Thanks for joining us, Patty. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, we're going to hear from our coaches program, and then we'll be back.
Okay.
The year of deepening practice has produced a new support opportunity for people of all levels of practice. A team of Zen awareness coaches guided by Sherry Huber, who offer individual coaching to support awareness practice. This coaching program is designed to help strengthen the inner voice of self-compassion and peace, and places a special emphasis on recording and listening. Whether you're brand new or a long-timer, awareness coaching can be the extra support your heart desires. As the Buddha said, we must each work out our own salvation diligently. Zen awareness coaches can assist you wherever you are in your practice. For more information, visit sanghamarket.com. Look for the Little Zen Monk under the Services section. These services are offered with loving kindness to support those wishing to deepen their practice.
Welcome back, and we have more callers here, Sherry.
Excellent.
Okay. Oh, and I did get a message about the Zen of Rumi, and registration is still open for that.
Ah, all right. So if there are any Rumi fans, they can come and join us.
Yes, indeed. And that's
or Zen fans, actually, I guess. All right. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning from me. This is Esther from the Netherlands.
Well, hello.
Hi.
You're turning into something of a night owl here.
Well, you know what, Sherry? I think nature's helping me out on this one, too, because it's a full moon out here.
Ah.
And something woke me up. And I did have the idea of calling in just to listen live because the experience is so, well, like you said the other night, so the energy is so there that
mm-hmm.
I'm really feeling, you know, I'm with you all.
Yeah, and, right here in the group.
But I wasn't feeling well, so I thought, okay, I'll be smart about this one. I'll just go to bed on time. And I did have this notion in the back of me with, you know what, if it's okay for me to wake up or whatever, I'll get it.
Uh-huh.
And
if I wake up.
Yeah, I trusted it, and I woke up, and I was like, huh, wonder what time it is. So I looked at the clock, and I just got myself ready to call.
That's right.
And I'm so thrilled because I really want to say, first of all, I never was a team, a sports player, team player, whatever.
Uh-huh.
I didn't grow up in the U.S., so all those team sports, like what you're talking about, I didn't play them. I was always terrified of playing games in teams. And I got to tell you, this is the best team sport I have ever been on, and I just want to keep on playing.
Uh-huh.
And to add on to that, I had such a remarkable experience yesterday. I was looking at opportunities besides what I am capable of doing with Living Compassion, if I could have something in the neighborhood. And I've been wanting to have a sitting group in the experience that, you know, I have had with you up until now, and I couldn't find it. And so I did find something, and then after a long going back and forth, should I, shouldn't I just registered. I got to the place last night, which is really literally down my street, which is really very special.
Mm-hmm.
Came to the door of the home. Everything was dark. And in the dark, I saw two other figures standing, so I did approach them carefully and said, hello, blah, blah. Long story short, the people that were having their, they call them here living room meditation group, something like that. And
uh-huh.
I won't go into it too much, but anyway, I stood there going like, huh. Now, this might be a special gift from life. this might be a workshop for me. So I was contemplating, are we going to, you know, am I going to let these two people who are interested in evidently some form of meditation go away? Or shall I invite them to my place? So I consulted with my husband to ask him, you know, this and this is going on. How is it for you? And he goes, yeah, go ahead. And I have a special room. And I went to the special room with these two people. And I cannot believe we did it in total silence. And I did propose that. I said, is it okay? How do you want to go about doing this? Because I don't know anything about that form. I said, but how about if we just sit in silence with each other? And they said, yeah, sounds good. So got everything ready, and I put my little timer on, and I sort of like, you know, kept an eye on it. And this sitting is for an hour. And then I got my workshop, really, because I was like, an hour? I've never sat for an hour. And I was just looked at it. I just looked at what came by. And I was like, just keep on breathing. So you have thoughts. I don't think I'm going down that road, you know. No. Keep breathing. And I just kept on doing it. And after a while, I wanted to check the timer because I wanted to ring a bell. And it was already far, it was 40 minutes to be really precise. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is so heavenly. And here I'm sitting with these two total strangers in silence in my home. And I was just going, you know what, this is just great. I really have no, you know, thoughts about how it's going to go on or whatever, but I was just so excited because I was like, I think Jill said it at the beginning about having a sitting group in New York. And I was like, oh, I've always wanted a sitting group here. And I had that experience, even though maybe it's the only time, I don't know, I had my little sitting group here. In my own home of all places. And I mean, I really live in an area where for years I've like, you know, I didn't even mention the word meditation because people were like, what? I mean, if I would talk about healthy food, it was already like, oh, what? You know? So I just sort of lost faith and hope in that area. And yesterday I was just like, huh, this is just fantastic. And maybe it is like in the acceptance mode. And to tie along with the previous callers, I'm so thrilled that I don't have a paid job right now because I have time to sit up in the middle of the night and talk to you.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And I'm practicing, yeah. I'm practicing and practicing and practicing during the day. Really, I really am. And I love it.
That's great.
I just love
That's
it.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, yes, it's difficult at times, and Sunday I had a really hard time, but mm-hmm. the time I can say the periods that it's lasting, I just figure out a way to get out of it again because I'm like, no way are you keeping me down. No
mm-hmm.
way.
Mm-hmm.
And with you, I mean, you know, conditioning.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. 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 And it would like to.
Oh, yeah.
It would like to tell you terrible stories and make you feel as bad as possible.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. I did for a while. And I know it has something to do with talking about the passing of our son.
Mm-hmm.
And we had guests, and my husband was talking about it, and I became aware of my things coming up about it and thinking, so is this my conditioning, thinking that he should blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And it kept me going for a really long time, and the next day I was trying to record and listen about it, but it, I don't want to record when I'm in the icky voice. I don't do that. And so I called a really dear friend who's been practicing, to the best of my knowledge, longer than I have. So let me put it this way. I felt okay calling her about not too much of the content, but a little bit. And that just sort of helped me because she allowed me to lay it out, I guess. And after that, I was like, okay. So that was another workshop. That was, you know, how I said I wanted to be open to the gifts of life. And I was looking at it from, okay, that was a workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure I'll have more of those because it's still, I haven't gotten to the core of it yet, but evidently maybe conditioning doesn't want me talking about something like that. I don't know what it is. Do you have guidance on that respect?
Well, the only thing that strikes me about it is that it seems like you can willingly trust the process that The next thing for you, the next workshop for you,
yeah,
is there for you, right? That as you look at how you're going through all of this, there's the next thing to face, the next thing to see, the next thing, you embrace that, you move into that, you see what there is about that, you move through the next thing is there, and you know, whether it's the, whatever it is, whether it's the delight of strangers who come back and you have a little meditation group, which you've been wanting to have, or, you know, it's having a good friend that you can call and can mirror some of the things that you're looking at, or how your husband is, and, you know, whatever these workshops are, they seem to be appearing at a perfect point.
Whoops.
Are you there?
Yeah, I lost you. I heard they seem to be appearing at a perfect, and then it went out.
Pace.
Okay.
Yeah. They're coming. It's opening for you. You know, this is appearing for you in a way that you're able to be present to and assimilate and benefit from. And it seems like you can trust that process.
Oh, that is so wonderful. That ties into another That's fantastic. I can trust the process. Mm-hmm. I am learning to trust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Now, I need to let you go. Well, no, you're not going to go back to bed, but you can just listen along until we talk you to sleep. How about that?
That's fine. That's great. Thank you very much, Sherry.
You are so welcome. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Esther. And Sherry, I think we have time for one more caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jody from Atlanta, Georgia.
Well, hello, Jody.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Good. I'm kind of shocked I got through. I've never gotten through before. So I'm good.
Good. What's going on?
Well, we in Atlanta are awaiting a massive, massive ice storm. So we're just kind of on pins and needles for that. But
it's not the kind of thing you folks are really used to, is it?
No, everything was shut down today, and everything's already closed for tomorrow and Thursday, and it hasn't even started yet. So we'll see how it goes. So.
Yeah, boy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Stay in and eat canned items out of the cupboard.
I know. It's funny. I've been cooking a lot from the monastery cookbook, so I have tons of soup that I have been making and cornbread that I've been making out of that. It's been fantastic.
Oh, good.
So
you're set.
Yeah, I'm all ready. I guess I also didn't really have a specific issue to talk about, kind of like some of the other people were saying. And it's funny because I too am between jobs right now, and so and have really been seeing it as a gift in a lot of ways. Every couple days, it's usually Friday morning and Sunday, conditioning kind of takes it back and tells me how everything I'm doing is wrong. And I'm much more in awareness about it, and it doesn't last quite as long as it used to, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
But just trusting the process at times, it all just feels very counterintuitive. It just, you know, I'm taking action and letting go of the outcomes, and I don't know when money will come in, and that's okay right now. It's just I hear myself talking sometimes, and I'm like, who's saying all this stuff that sounds balanced and okay?
Uh-huh. And you're relaxing into it and enjoying it.
Yeah, I mean, who, like, enjoying unemployment? It just seems kind of anti pretty much everything that we're taught. And it's just trusting, like, as I'm doing this awareness practice, kind of learning what it actually looks like for me. I'm doing the email class now, and just this idea of what does upping my game actually look like? What does it mean to have practice in my life?
Mm-hmm.
And I've done a little recording and listening. I'm still haven't integrated it fully into my practice. I think conditioning just has me confounded by the whole thing. So I always appreciate having other people talk about it, so I understand a little bit more.
Uh-huh.
How people use it.
Have a general hang of it?
I think so. I think where I get confused is when I'm feeling good, I don't think to, like, it feels a lot of times like I'm having a conversation with myself, but then I never think to go back to the recordings, in part because I have a type of recorder that is very hard to figure out what the recordings are of without actually listening to them all. And so I don't always, I guess it's that balance between how to do the recording and listening and not have it end up being a me beating myself up for not doing recording and listening.
Okay, yeah. All right, well, that's good.
Using it as part of the to-do list. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah. No. Yes. Yes. No. Yes. No. You never want
no,
to do
no,
that.
Yes,
you never.
Yes.
You never want to give self-hate the device, right?
Right.
You don't want to give egocentric karmic conditioning who just wants to get on there and gripe about whatever. But what you want to do is, there are so many ways to use it. But if you had a best friend. And you were going to get together and talk to your best friend about your life, about what you're seeing and what you're realizing and what you're enjoying. And, you know, maybe there are these things that you're looking at, but you really want to state, you know, what do you want for your practice? What do you want for your life?
Mm-hmm.
What's important to you? You know, all those kinds of things that you'd like to say to somebody, but nobody's really that interested to listen to that for very long, but that device is really interested and or doesn't say anything if it's not. And so you can just say those things, and then as you listen to it more things will occur to you.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you were you here for the good news part of the show, the 10 minutes before the...
I caught a little bit of it.
Okay. Well, I was fascinated listening to Jen and Jill as they demonstrated perfectly what I'm going to tell you next. So Jill would say something, and Jen would say, well, when you said that, what I saw was, and then Jill would say, what dropped in when I heard you say that is, and what they were doing was just, they were in such a present moment conversation. Neither one of them was going off thinking about something else. They were really right there.
Right.
And whatever the other person said triggered a new awareness for them.
Hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So that's what can happen with the recorder. So you hear what you said and you have an insight about what you hear. And then you record that and you listen and you start this kind of process of increasing insights and capturing them. So when you go back, you not only have those insights and intuitions that will always bring up new awarenesses, but it's a way of getting to know yourself that is impossible to imagine until you have the experience.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, that's really helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, and record things that inspire you. Record, poetry or whatever it is. Read passages out of books. But what you want to do is keep it all focused on the life you want to live.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And in terms of using it as part of, you know, compassionate self-discipline around doing certain things. Like, I've been meditating most days, but I have a lot of trouble just getting up and doing it versus just finding time during the day to do it. And I'd like to have it in the morning. I would like to do it first thing. And I just haven't been.
Here's my encouragement.
Okay.
Are you a coffee or tea in the morning person, or do you just want to get up and meditate?
Well, I've been doing yoga quite early in the morning at a studio, so I'd like to, once that ends, I'd like to just get up and meditate, but I haven't.
Okay.
I could probably go either way. I'm a tea person.
Okay. So what you could do is if you wanted to have your cup of tea before you meditate, I mean, some people just want to roll out of bed and meditate, which is great. But my encouragement is to make a recording for yourself that you want to listen to first thing in the morning.
Uh-huh.
And it's, again, it's getting to you before any voices have a chance to come in and influence you. So you talk about the day and any gratitude that you feel and what's important to you, the attitude of mind and heart that you want to have for this day. What you want to stay focused on, what you want to bring into conscious awareness and bring conscious awareness to, and you listen to that. And part of that is talking to yourself about why you want to meditate and why you want to meditate first thing in the morning. And then you listen to that as you drink your tea, and then you get up and you meditate.
Okay. Okay, that's interesting.
And you'll let me know, won't you? You'll let me know, won't
you? I will.
All right.
I will.
I'm excited. I'm excited for you.
I am too. The one other thing that I'll mention is it's been really funny since I've been back from the New Year's retreat. I feel like people that meditate are suddenly just showing up in my life, where today I saw a friend who invited me to a meditation group on Fridays, and there's unfortunately not a I don't know of a – there's the closest Sangha group is in Athens, which is quite a ways away. And so it's just funny that meditators seem to – just keep showing up in life, and
they're,
I think it's been a beautiful thing.
Yeah, we're everywhere.
Yeah, I
we're
like
everywhere.
It.
It's a revolution. We're gonna take over the world. That's what's gonna happen.
I know.
I know.
One step at a time.
The silent revolution. Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, that's
I
that's
like
great.
It.
And probably part of that is the confidence that people feel that. That something that really wasn't socially acceptable not that long ago actually is. You know, I can remember
right.
a time when if somebody was seeing a therapist, they, you know, it was the best kept secret in the world. And now,
right.
you know, if you're not seeing a therapist, people kind of wonder what's the matter with you, right?
Right.
So it's like
right.
that. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you.
Well,
and
thank
do,
you so,
do
so
let
much.
Me know. Stay inside.
I'll
stay
let
warm
you know.
And dry. And
I will.
Liz here. All right. Thanks, Jody. Good night.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jody. And this brings us to the end of another great show, Sherry.
Well, thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Talk to you pretty darn soon.
Okay. I look forward to it.
Me too. Bye.
Okay. Bye.